Please turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I'm going to read from the ESV this morning. Psalm 40, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, Aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, Great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. As I said, Psalm 40 is a psalm of David. Not sure when it was written, but certainly as we read it, we can understand how many times David felt where he was in a pit of destruction, where he was stuck in the miry bog, when he was running from Saul, when his enemies were pressing in around him. But yet, in this psalm, we see a psalm of prayer to God for deliverance and of praise to God for the deliverance that he had given David and that he would continue to give David if only David would do what God had required of him. David recognized that deliverance comes only through God. And when we look at the psalm, we see David considering the deliverance that he had already been afforded by God. He was drawn out of the destructive pit, that he'd been lifted out of the miry bog. And that God provides so much more. Verse 5, You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. David recognized so many blessings came from God, and so much deliverance. But David recognizes that the deliverance that came was with an expectation. The expectation that it was more than just sacrifice that David needed to offer, and at this time, of course, of the sacrifices of the old law. It was more than that that was required. It was doing God's will. God wanted David to do his will, to do God's will. Verses 6 through 8, we read this. David wasn't simply just making sure that he offered sacrifices. He was working to obey God and do his will. This verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 40, we can think of one who was the ultimate in doing God's will, that being Christ. And we know that these verses apply to Christ because it's stated plainly that Christ said these words about himself. Hebrews chapter 5, if you would turn there. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 10, again through the ESV. For since the law has but a shadow of good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor take pleasure in the sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The writer of Hebrews explains these words that we saw in Psalm 40 and now we read in Hebrews chapter 10. They apply to Jesus. Jesus stated them about himself. He said these things were given because God had neither desire or pleasure in the sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. They were to be done away with. How were they to be done away with? Well, through Christ. Christ was going to do away with the first to establish the second. This first and second that was established and done away with, the first being the first covenant, the law of Moses. The second being the new covenant. The new covenant that he had with all mankind, that all could be sanctified and brought to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In quoting Psalm 40, the writer of Hebrews has made two important points. First, the blood of animals does not take away sins. If they had, God would have continued to desire that we offer burnt sacrifices and offerings today. But he doesn't. These requirements were done away because Christ fulfilled the law. He was able to set aside the first covenant and its condemnation and establish a new covenant that does take away our sins. It sanctifies us. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, doing God's will, as he said, he came to do God's will, not just to offer sacrifices, but to do God's will. That sacrifice of Jesus on the cross washed away our sins. His shedding of blood on the cross washed away our sins. And we were able then to be able to, as David said, be delivered from that destructive pit, that horrible pit, that miry clay, the clay of sin, and the death that would have come to all of us if we were not forgiven of our sins. But because Christ delivered us, we too, like David, can proclaim that great is the Lord. And we do that each and every Sunday, each and every first day of the week, when we think of that great sacrifice of Christ and what his willingness to do God's will has done for us, his willingness to give himself up on the cross, give his life and shed his blood for our sins. And we remember that this morning, as we do each first day of the week, through the Lord's Supper, through remembering his body and his blood, through the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And let's do that now.